Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
yet another podcast where I recite the periodic table. And as usual, I'm going for a cardiac walk, just pushing myself the whole time. So today's been, I suppose, hard. I've polished off Parmenides. Finally got him the pronunciation of that. He's a Greek philosopher. Turns out to be really incredibly important philosopher in that he's the key, he's the foundation on which Socrates and Aristotle and everything is built. And he established the idea critically of philosophy being as distinct from theology. So he secularized religion, so to speak, took the fundamental idea. It's not so much what he did do, but what he didn't do. He didn't explain the unexplainable by saying, hey, put God in that place. He just said, look, they're unexplainable and you just have to be cautious about how you deal with unexplainable things. Although he did actually use a goddess to say this. So he was religious in the setting of putting it forward. It's also very interesting to look at it. But in terms of actual Struggle Street, I had to do the first podcast in the morning. Went off fairly straightforward. Then I had to do a good half day of medical appointments. And then I finally polished off. Oh, God, it's going to rain again. Good God. So this is what happened to me last night. I was walking out and suddenly the heavens opened up. And this is Australia, you just don't understand it. It's obviously nowhere near Britain, but it's lots of rain. But I came back, pretty exhausted. Set up the light for me to read and hit the final section of Parmenides. It's pretty interesting, Parmenides. Now, the really interesting thing is that it was, you don't really see his consequence until you've actually ground through the other philosophers which are based on it, so you can see where it goes to. And you actually don't understand the beauty of what he's doing, the limited beauty, until you've actually worked your way through pages and pages of interpretation. So it turned out to be actually a very fantastic journey. It's sort of like you're walking down a bush track and you suddenly come across a view you didn't know that was going to be there. And so that was rewarding. But the unrewarding aspect of it is that I put it in the podcast engine and turn the handle, pop, nothing appears in the blogger page. So I had to actually manually copy it across the blogger page and then look at it. And at this stage, this is just more or less automation talk, but I will get down to the periodic table and you'll hear me absolutely breathe because I'm about to walk down and up Glenbrook Gorge, which is a fairly steep, precipitous stage. Well, so I've got these things, these checks. It checks the file size, the correct file size on your computer, checks the file size has been transferred faithfully across to the internet. So there's that aspect of it. And then when it publishes it, I get it to publish to Blogger and WordPress at the same time. And lo and behold, it was not turning up in Blogger, but turning up in WordPress. And then what you actually do is you just get, you pirate your Gmail program to actually take, you compose a Gmail and automatically send it to Blogger. So I went back into Gmail. Yes, there it's there, attempting to send it to Blogger. Blogger, nothing there. Then change the Blogger address and on Blogger and it, and pretty well narrow down that the male function is not working in Blocker, and you have this nightmare feeling that Blocker is one of the Google things which is not making a lot of money. People are using it. I don't know why they're using it, and you feel that legacy is going to crash eventually to get it done. So that's where it is at the moment to get that done. And I've just completed my first broadcast for the new generation of things, and that is where I have a multiple choice podcast. And of course you need your introduction where you say certain things and interject set particular points. Today we're doing a podcast on quiz on, I would say in this one I said spaghetti. I'll cut out the word spaghetti and leave a time there, and then programmatically add in the topic, the number of questions, and the overall structure. So it's taken me a while to figure out the structure of a podcast quiz. So I know you may be listening for the periodic table, but I've got to get that done at certain points. And you cannot hear the frogs, so it's rained. So I know you can hear the frogs because I had to re-listen to a podcast just then. It's just all frogs, frogs, frogs. So the world's absolutely alive with frogs, but all the frogs are these sort of pest frogs. Occasionally, there's these frogs which breed really quickly. As soon as there's rain, they just emerge from nowhere. I don't know. So the place is, there's a little bit of rain and it's frog everywhere out here. Okay, getting back to it. So this is the overall structure, and the you have to have a motivation, which comes from military training. In this lesson will be such and such. By the end of this lesson, you will be able to blah, 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 the purpose and aim of the lesson. So that's what you're going to achieve. And then the lesson will be taught such and such way. Now, in this case, there are different requirements. So when you're having a podcast, you want it to go to similar to a radio program where they give you a quiz, A, B, C, D, something or other. Really, it's not really that important to emphasize A, B, C, D if you give the answer straight away. But nonetheless, to get the result, you'll say C, blank. So you leave a blank there, so the person can actually, if they had picked B, they have to then rethink through what C was. So that's good, like that. And then you say what the answer is, and then you have the explanation. So the way it's actually recorded, first off, so that's the way you hear it. The way it's recorded is that you read your passage, which is the explanation, you ask a question, give the correct answer, and then struggle to think of three plausible incorrect answers. So that's the way, it's the easiest way to do it that way, where the explanation comes up first. You ask a question which is consistent with the explanation that you've just given, and then the answers. Now, I've just done it such that that question sort of stock which goes in, you can go through and identify what the explanation is, what the question, the answers is, and then it goes through and randomizes the questions and it records which is the right position. And so in the first mode, it's question, option, answers, correct answer, and then explanation. You may really want the probably just to do it again. Might overkill if you do the question and answer straight afterwards. So that's the driving mode. So you listen to that, you come to the end. Then it starts up again, but this time it's a little bit different. It's just the questions, or announce the question. Question one is blah blah blah. It could be A, B, C, or D. Question two, pause to let people possibly write, and then you go back again and repeat it for all your 10 questions. I'm going to make it up to 10 questions ago, or I'll absolutely kill myself doing it. And now I'm talking about killing myself. I'm about to go down this fairly steep, drive. Well, sorry, not drive. It's a canyon. It's the road doesn't go straight. The canyon zigzags around the edge of the canyon, but it's quite a steep, steep affair. Okay. So now, when you've completed that, then you get, so people have written down their answers. Okay. Because there's a cliff just a short distance away, and I've heard a kangaroo just in there. Just listen again. That's a bit weird. It doesn't sound like a kangaroo or a wallaby. Something, couldn't be a wombat up here. Just have a listen. Oh, bloody hell, you can hear a jet over the top. Okay, so at this point, you've done your questions. Then it says the answers to the test is A, B, C, blah, 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 blah. What that happens then is that the entire class can answer it, because it says question 1, A, question B, 2, C. Now, all this you don't have to do, because it knows what the correct answer is, and it does all the thinking for you. So the computer can do that. But, God, it's a lot of head scratching to get it right. Now, I should, at this stage, how do you say, I don't know, a sequence there. How do you say, through this session of code, I want you to say, for every time I see rather than A, because that's, you can't substitute that, but if you say A is double A, you know, two capital A's, so every time you want it to say two A's, you, in your script you have two A's, so you've got your written script, right? So you just have, you write out your script. So this is a script. Now for each, so that's a text file, and then you say for each time you see double A, I want you to replace that with a file, single colon, the name of the file, close file. Now, so for, okay, so it's a little bit sophisticated. So you just write an engine which goes down iteratively rewriting your file, as in file name. So it pre-compiles it, converts it across. So you actually have just one program step which says scan the entire file and replace them all with file commands to say this word. And then rather than write it out in an iterative thing, you have it scan both basically the values and the file names of it, and it just puts it in. So you can actually just write your script, and it converts that script into a sequence of files which recreates exactly what you say. So it can actually voice to text dynamically. Right, it's sort of very hard. So it doesn't actually read the and says, look up how I say the. It reads the actual text, say like introduction. So I'll say my introduction, I could write it out awful, but I'll just say introduction. So it says introduction topic. So it will look up, have the word topic. So for introduction and topic, or A or B or some, all those things, for questions like that, and in fact in a whole array, it will just search through it and build it. There you go, build it. There's a it's just going to take a bit to get there. So in order to get going there, so I know exactly how that's going to go. It will work. It's just bloody hard. Now, one of the things is that I do have this already for testing up, and it used to crash. And of course, what I have is I have my little VLC player, and I'll call it up. I say it's enough, and stop the program. Of course, the VLC program would still be running. It would just hang it and crash it. And I had sort of encountered that a long time ago when I was hacking into robots to get them to go. So what I do now is, rather than programmatically stop on the front panel, I have a button which goes in and just puts the VLC to sleep properly, and then shuts the program down. No hassles. So I know it's going to be fairly smooth sailing, but in terms of programming, I knew in advance that this type of error would come up. I didn't know where it was going to come, and I wrote it in such a way that it was sort of robust. So if it stopped, I could just close it and start it up again. And I could keep on looking until I've knocked out the error. And so that's essentially what I've done. However, at this stage, I think Blogger's got an error. Blogger's not coming along, and it's going to be a real crime to actually get through Blogger and actually go. Oh, there's it's pretty misty down here. And look, it shows how unfit I am. I'm sort of about a third of the way down. I feel it should be a complete way down. But it's a pretty beautiful night. I hope it's not going to rain too much. And listen, I may have to, the creek may be far too high. I can actually hear it at this stage. Or I'm going completely, I'm all the way down. I just haven't been thinking about it. So that's where it's at. So it's actually a fairly simple, and look, when you get the code together and clean it up, so when you're working it, you just get, this is graphically written. I don't believe it. No, it is correct. I was only a third of the way down. It's just the light here is hard to see what's going on. So, it's fairly straightforward to get going, but it will be a monster task. And, I actually stopped at the first one is driving. The second one is classroom mode. And the third one is just study mode, where you actually reverse. You start with the explanation first, then the question and answer. No A, B, or C. You see the piece of information, you listen to it, and then you see the question, and then the answer. Sort of really basic comprehension stuff. So if you haven't seen the area, you're driving along, you go, oh, what the heck? Oh, I've got no idea what this is about. Oh, shit, whiz, it is actually here. They've closed it off. So what's the saying here? Flood. Okay. Well, you can't go down. And I'll tell you what you can hear. It's a raging torrent. Torrent Glenbrook Creek. You know, if I was younger and more foolhardy, yeah, I'd go. But if I got swept away at the middle of the night, it's roads closed. And I tell you what, if you get into trouble and you've walked up a road closed, the police are absolutely, not that I've ever done it, but I've known people stuck out here. The police are really good. Like, the helicopters come out and take you out. But if you are a knob, so to speak, I think they've called it an e-perb, something like that, and you leave it on your campsite, or you're just a knob, you go where they say they've closed it, they can really get quite nasty. So, I'm returning back now. This is a small little thing. Just know that the road closed signs are these brilliant printed Corflute. They stand out like anything. They look fantastic. And essentially what they do nowadays is that if there's a danger sign or a warning sign that's been put up by someone, they don't leave it out there to get smashed up and fail. The actual ranger has these things, they stick it on. I don't know whether that makes lots of sense. It means that, I suppose if you're closing off a section, you don't have to have a road closed for everywhere. You can just stick it on a gate or something like that. So I'm just going to breathe like buckery as I go up this slope, and I'll eventually get there. So it's a hard day. Anyway, so I was pushing myself, and you just really have to push and push yourself. My problem is that I'm addicted to slightly sugary drinks. So like I have a couple of teas a day with half a teaspoon of sugar in it with light milk. So that's sort of sugar plus, sugar plus, sugar plus. And so I've just got to really push myself to get there. So the actual podcast, and it's beginning to bloody rain, for God's sake. Okay, so the actual podcast is engine is coming along there. It might take a week or so. I don't know how much I can get done tomorrow, but as I've done Greek philosophers, and I've gone into the World Atlas of Cheese, which is sort of like a shoot yourself in the foot but have some fun podcasting. I've got two new scientists, and I've got to really challenge myself, possibly get up to, I know this is going to be wicked, but 90 minute podcasts on new scientists, and get up. So I don't know, it might be, look, I'll probably put it up a month before I can actually get the synthetic podcast together. But that's what I've done at the start of this walk, is a podcast where I've just done the introductions. I said A, B, C, D, question one, question two, question three. Yeah, I've got to really really push my way forward. It's a real awful thing. I didn't want to do it, but so I'm going to have to get into Audacity. I may as well just do it all in Audacity, just pull it out and get it there. I think for this I won't muck around with my stuff. I'll just pull it out with Audacity, because I had a few goes at getting the right words and the essential thing. So Audacity is a VLC lame interface. There's lame FFmpeg, which are open source command line libraries, and VLC is an open source command line library. And so all Audacity is something which sends commands. It's command line editor. You don't see command lines. You see the graphical interface or WYSIWYG. And it's a pretty impressive thing, Audacity. Yeah, the actual programming of it is very impressive. But it's a very long-winded thing. So Audacity requires so much mouse operation. And when you have selected a section, you can't say, you can't label a section. So that's Joe Block. So that's that. It's just a section. And so I've had to go out and develop the capacity, which has meant less podcasting as I've sort of hit that and slowly gone through. I've had a few nightmares. That is a VLC manager. VLC doesn't send all that intelligent feedback for live. So VLC is designed for human control. It's not designed for robot style control. Therefore, you can easily overload it. So you have to work out when to put delays. They're not great delays. They're maximum 20 or 10 milliseconds before you can actually send things through. That's not VLC's fault. It's the actual server bus on your computer. Multi-threading. So we can't... Yeah, what against multi-threading? It requires, it's not expecting so many commands to come through the multi, multiple calls on your computer. Aren't expecting that much. Before I start, on the train station, the actual, this is an amazing thing, the station, there's relevance here. The station master, person who works with the trains, had a chat with him, and he's really into computers, building them, and had a bit of a chat. He had a bit of a world view, which is perhaps the extreme of my world view, in terms of that both he and I see... I think I'm trying to work out what the term is for an essentially degenerate, corrupt system. That's where non-qualified people are put up into places to become defensive. I like to think of a corruptitude or something like that, but or a corrupt state. And he was thinking about, you know, all the way out. The New World Order with every citizen, and he was telling me about a new software. This is very much new software called the Mayors, which is he claimed artificial intelligence, but I think there's people often use that too much for Australian law. So you just basically on this one type in your problem and out comes all the legal options planned and all the legal arguments. And so it's sort of like the essential, sort of an essential thing we do. So whenever I have a new person I have to deal with, I obviously search on Google, search on LinkedIn, have a look at what they say and who they are, and yeah. Okay. So, but this is the legal equivalent. And so for him, I don't know. It takes a bit to actually, organize your computer to broadcast something to a website. So, what I'll do is I'll set up a different skin for him and take podcasts from him, get him to just quietly join the podcast revolution. So that's where we're at the moment. A bloody hard day, and just a dreadful end into it to do another podcast, finishing off podcasts on this Greek dude, and at the end of it, the end of all this evolution, philosophical development of computers and stuff like that, Google's blogger is not alive. What a crack. Okay, that being said, I'm going to recite the periodic table and see how I go on that. That should get me a good fraction of the way I am, I think. So, hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, iron, ruthenium, rubidium, palladium, silver, cadmium, indium, zinc, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, protactinium, Isn't Prometheus has got a fire? The legend. He's cut the things off. The other artificial element besides technetium. I hope I have said technetium. Okay. What a cracker. Samarium, europium, gondolin, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulmium, ytterbium, lutetium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, rhenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, silver, mercury, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, astinium, radon, francium, radium, actinium, thorium, proactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, Berkeley, Californium, Einstein, Infernium, Nobelium, Mendelevium, Nobelium, Lawrencium, Rutherfordium, Dubium, Seaborgium, Borium, Hasnium, Metrium, Dramastructrium, Rockinium, Copernicum, Nipponium, Fluvium, Moscovium, Livermorium, Tennesseum, Organicum. So Prometheus. It's not Prometheus, is the god of fire. What is it? Oh, gosh, that's so frustrating. There's this legend about this person who, a Greek guy who, it's a protect. You can't read protect him. She was, so he's a Greek guy and, he has an inn and he says, look, everyone will fit my bed. And, then, as they do in Greek times, they discover the horrible, horrible secret that if you're too short, he puts you on a rack and stretches you. Or if you're too long, he comes in the middle of the night and chops your legs off. So everyone fits his bed, but okay. And so he's given his name to mathematical functions where they just chop it off, and that's in turns into geostatistics, and so it couldn't be protactinium. Proactinium is up there. Prometheus? Oh, I think it is Prometheus. Yeah, just to to go through. Now there's a dirty secret that I do know all about Ceres, the small planetoid in the asteroid belt. It's like it's so, you know, it's like it's Jupiter, it's Pluto size. You know, it's a nice circular orbit, and you know, I don't know why people don't know it, but Palladium, there's something to actually understand that, and so that's the other asteroid. But where exactly is Pallas? So that's Pallas of Palladium. Where that is, I don't know, but I do know about the Greek, the Roman legend a bit more. That Pallas was adopted by the Romans, and she's basically this Greek good generic. That shows the lack of knowledge I have. Greek goddess, because there's many shields and many instances that she's stuck right in the middle of a suit of armour or something like right across the heart, and she's there with her spread arms doing various, you know, holding these things together. So it's got something to do with Greek cosmology, whereas Ceres is the god of the harvest, which is similar to cereal. You know, it's a cereal. It's something which you you harvest to go across. So that's your periodic table. And perhaps I'm going faster. Well, it's really interesting that if I don't think I'm going to do the periodic table, if I'm going to do something, it comes out a little bit faster. So so it's going across. I'm trying to remember the MDMA and caffeine, and I'll just do adenosine, thymine, guanine, and cysteine. Now, the adenine is on the right, a hexagon with the apex to the bottom. So there's an apex at 6 and 12 o'clock, at 2, 4, 8 and 10. And to the right of that is a pentagon of atoms, ring of atoms. So there's going to be nitrogen substitutions in here. And there's one at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So the atom 10 o'clock corresponds to the 2 and 4 o'clock on the hexagon. So that those two together, those two are carbons. But in the pentagon at the 1 and 5 o'clock are nitrogens. The 5 o'clock nitrogen has got a hydrogen on, and it's used to bind the variously the adenine and the guanine to I don't know if you pronounce guanine to the ribose deoxyribose sugar. And so the differences in this is the orientation. And so for adenine, it's a fairly simple thing. There's in the hexagon at 6 and 10 o'clock are nitrogens, with, is it in that ring, the rest of the carbon, so that's at 12, 2, 6 and 8 are carbons. Now onto the 12 o'clock carbon is an amine NH2 group. Now, I think that means it's only two bonds here. So that's adenine. Now, in guanine, what we do is that we put a hydrogen on at that midday, the hexagon midday, But at and on the 10 o'clock one, we put a hydrogen, which takes the bond away. The nitrogen doesn't put two bonds into the ring, it puts one, because the carbon at the 12 o'clock's got bonds, two bonds in the ring and two to the hydrogen, so two to the oxygen, so it needs a hydrogen. And then on the hexagon 0 o'clock is an amine group. And this configuration gives you regarding the three bonds. And the situation is for thionine, which has got, I'll just keep myself as three bonds, so I'll go back and check. That has a similar situation of hexagons with a, this is just a single hexagon, but at the, midnight, so at the 12 o'clock it's got an oxygen, at the 2 it's got a, methyl group, which is a carbon and three hydrogens on. Then it's got a nitrogen coming down at 6 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock onto that carbon there is attached a in nitrous group. So this is telling me this, well, you've got three bonds. Oh, hydrogen, I have to really think about this. I'll be kicking myself if this is not right. And so this is an oxygen and methyl group. Now, there's some methyl groups hit off there if it's uracil for the RNA. That methyl group's good. You can actually see how that works in the DNA, because you can see it slotting into the space where there's deoxy. I think that's right. And so that's your thionine. Cysteine is I think, oh yeah, so the oxygen, and back for thionine, there's actually not a nitrogen on the there's not a nitrogen on the far out, there is this owl. Let's go and look at this. You don't see this too often. Hey buddy, what are you doing? This is a, I think these are the horny, oh there you go, oh. Tell you what, it flew off. You can't see it. I tell you what, there was, one time there were these 10 owls. Who knows, I've never seen it. A flock of 10 owls, and it was spooky because they were just there and they made no sound whatsoever. That one flew off, no sound whatsoever. Okay, getting back. So thionine has an oxygen on the midnight and the, 8 o'clock one. Whereas, thionine, cysteine has got a, let me calculate this one. It's got a, an amine on the 12 o'clock and just an oxygen sticking out on the, oh yeah, so C's got the three bonds. It's got the amine. So that's CGO, three hydrogen bonds. I can actually visualize that now. So that's, all at this stage. I think I'll call that a night, and we'll see how, this, uploads to, the podcast. So I hope you found some of that interesting, and that got me through, part of my walk, which was mercifully cut off by floodwaters down the gorge. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.